Amen. Well, I want to bring a message this morning. It's really simple, but we may have some thoughts in here that'll be interesting to you on Christ's ministry identifying Elijah. Christ's ministry identifies Elijah. And let's just ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we're going to read Your Word now and pray the comments thereon shall not simply be comments, but it shall be teaching that very same Word, correlating it and bringing it into this very time in which we live, O God, that we might glorify Your name for Your faithfulness, and our faith, Lord, may increase with such confidence as to put us in the rapture. We ask this today, Lord, for Your honor and for glory, Lord. Feed Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's go back to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, and you're going to find that I use this an awful lot. And today I'm going to use it very strong, and I think we'll see some good things in here. Acts 3:19-23. Repent you therefore, and remember the word repent is always change your mind. Many people say repentance is godly sorrow. How can it be when the Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance? So godly sorrow is not repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. Change your mind, therefore, and be converted. That means to turn again. Turn again. That's the message of Elijah. Turn again. The book of Malachi and the book of Revelation, especially Revelation 3:14-22, go hand in hand. That your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say your sins are blotted out upon Calvary. Notice it does not look back upon Calvary. No, sir. It looks forward. So you cannot put this back at Calvary. It's something that takes place in the future. And He shall send Jesus Christ. Who shall? God. Shall send Jesus, who is the Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive. Now remember, Jesus Himself never came back in His corporal body. Came back as the Holy Spirit. The heavens must receive that body until the times of restoration of all things. Until restoration is complete, the corporal Christ cannot come down. The restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets as the Word began. Of course, that's the Word of God, because that's what God spoke by their mouths, the Word. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass, that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Notice he puts in the future tense. That never happened in Calvary. He would have said it has come to pass. Doesn't say that. See, everybody said if you reject Jesus, that's the unforgivable sin. See how they mouth off? The unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Yet they always want to twist it. This here is the future tense. It shall come to pass. Didn't say it has come to pass. Shall come to pass. That every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. See, keep with your word. Revelation, the 10th chapter. Another scripture we read many, many times. Let's look at it. First 7 verses. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven full of the clouds. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun. And his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And cried with a loud voice when a lion roared. And when he had cried 7 thunders out of their voices, and when the 7 thunders had other voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. See, notice the voice from heaven. That's where the head is. Seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lift up his hand to heaven and swear unto him to live forever and ever, who created heaven and things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th messenger, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be perfected and consummated, as God had declared the good news of his gospel by, not to, but by his servants, the prophets. Now, I know that in teaching here along this subject, you're all aware, of course, that Elijah has to come before the rapture, according to Malachi 4:5-6. Now, let's look at that. All right? He says, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now remember that John saw the day of the Lord. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which would be the day of the Lord. In Revelation, I believe, 1:10, which opened the 6th seal, which coincides with Malachi. It's the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the day of retributive wrath and judgment, wherein the earth is purged, Israel is purged, and the church is purged. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now you can stroke that out in your minds, maybe lightly in your Bible, because that will never repeat again. It's been finished. He shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers. That's what's going to happen today. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, since the sixth seal is the smiting of the earth with a curse, then Elijah the prophet has to come before this. Now, turn to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. And let's read, first of all, the 28th verse of Matthew 16. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste the death. They won't die till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them. That means bears them up in his arms like a rapture. They don't walk up, they rise up. Into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. See, now this is the same as Revelation 1, the first chapter, and also Revelation 10. And behold, there appeared with them, unto them, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter and said, Lord, said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save only Jesus. And as they came down the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision, with a vision, see, to no man, until the Son of Man be raised again to the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes, that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke of John the Baptist, unto them of John the Baptist. Now, you'll notice in here that Jesus said that they were going to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And when they did see him in a vision, he was transfigured, which is to say he came back in his glorified resurrection body. And with him was Moses and Elijah, and they came back in their resurrection body in the vision. Now then, here they were in the very kingdom that Jesus spoke of, and it was in a glorified condition upon this earth here, which would be the millennium. And so that they said, well, how come the scribes say Elijah must first come before this kingdom, and yet you show him in the kingdom, and you didn't show us Elijah coming before it? And he said, Elijah shall truly first come. Now then, before that kingdom. Now you'll notice that these people were in their resurrection bodies. So therefore, Elijah has to come before the first resurrection, because blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests and kings unto God. They shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we can see here that according to the scripture, Elijah will come back to the Gentiles, into the Gentile bride, and he will be here before the rapture and before the first resurrection according to the word of God. Now also, we know from scripture that this man Elijah has a ministry of restoration, that if he does not come and fulfill it, there will not be a resurrection or a rapture. Because the Bible distinctly says, unless Elijah comes, then there cannot be the coming of the Lord except with smiting utterly the whole earth. Now, the rapture is not a smiting, nor is the resurrection a smiting. And yet, the Bible says that if Elijah doesn't come, then there will be this smiting. So therefore, if Elijah doesn't come, there will not be a rapture and there will not be a resurrection. So therefore, he has to come and restore whatever it is that needs restoration in order to bring about the resurrection and the rapture. Now then, we see by scripture, which I read in the book of Acts, that what the restoration ministry is to restore the word of Almighty God. That's exactly what it's going to be. It's a restoration to bring back the perfect word of God spiritually revealed in order to prepare the bride that she might be a virgin of the word. See? Now, let me just show you something here if you want to. Let's go back to the book of Joel for a second. And the second chapter, and we'll look in the 23rd verse, and it says here, Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, as in the first. I don't believe that's in the first month. I believe that's as in the first. And the floor should be full of wheat. Now when's the floor full of wheat? Harvest time, and not before. And the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Now that's the blessing of God on the wheat. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust. Now, this word years is translated famine, actually, or revolution, or span of years or ages. See? And I'll restore unto you the famine caused by the locust. And remember, there's going to be a famine in the word, the end time, for word, not for water and for bread. And I'll restore unto you the years, or that which the famine, that the locust ate, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty. Now, you notice here, he said the former rain and the latter rain would do it. And the former rain is the teaching rain, which is the word. It means teaching or teacher. So therefore, there will be a teaching and a rain to fall upon it to bring forth an immediate harvest, just like it says back over here, keep your fingers there, in Revelation, I'll just read it for you, the 10th chapter and verse 6, where it says, he raised his hand up toward heaven and swore that time should be no longer. And according to Ezekiel, that was in the day that God spoke it to that generation, the word would be fulfilled. In other words, it would bring forth an immediate harvest. Now notice in here, he said, I am going to send you the former teaching. I'm going to send you the teaching and the Spirit of God to fall upon it. I'm going to do it as I did in the beginning. Now, why was it that God had to send a teaching ministry? Because the word is seed. And you tell me what man can ever get a crop out of anything that the palmer worm munched on, the canker worm guzzled on, the caterpillar consumed. You couldn't do it. It's impossible to get a harvest out of a nub. So what do you do? What's the farmer do? He plows it under and he re-sows. So at the end time, God has to re-sow in order to get a harvest. And the re-sowing would have to be the perfect word of God. It's just that simple. Now that's what he does here. And then also, if you don't understand that, let's go back to the book of James, the 5th chapter where I taught you before on the former and latter rain. The 5th chapter of John, James, it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the harvester, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. You cannot have a crop at the end time, because there's nothing left to the word of God. It's shot. You couldn't bring forth a harvest to try. So it's got to be a complete re-sowing. And when it's a re-sowing, remember, the Holy Ghost falls upon it right away, and in that generation, it brings forth the harvest, which will be what? Which will be the rapture, the resurrection, and the rapture. You follow me? All right. Now, we've established that point. We have also shown by Scripture, in teaching here previously, that as Jesus was on earth with John the Baptist, the Elijah that day, so in this end time, Elijah also stood with Jesus, who comes back to earth as the pillar of fire, designating himself as the messenger of the covenant. And as Jesus identified John, so did Jesus, in the pillar of fire, identify, authenticate, and vindicate the Elijah of this day, which was William Branham. Now, here we will study on this understanding of God vindicating the prophet to show who he was. Now, we'll treat the best we can, or as the Lord enables us, to show that what happened to Elijah, John the Baptist, pardon me, happened also to William Branham, which was, they did to John what they wanted, which was, disbelieve him and repudiate him, and the same was done to this end time messenger. Now, to get this picture, we'll go back again to the Revelation, the 10th chapter, 1-7. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, go to the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, his face was it were the sun, his feet pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Now you know that book, of course. Brother Branham said was the book of redemption rights. Well, there's only one book of redemption rights, and that's in the word. That's the word of God. So the book open, in my understanding here, would be that which is the word of God. And he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. Didn't say he was a lion. It says, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, didn't say he roared, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven. Now, when you understand that this voice is opening, is teaching the word of God, this is the former rain repeated. Right there. The opening of the book, the bringing forth of the seals, the thunders, is the complete revelation of the word of God for this day. Why? Because it's the word that he speaks in this day that's fulfilled. You follow me? Showing that every age has a message. You don't fool with anything now, see? Because he lifted his hand and swore, time is no longer. What I say now will be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit will fall upon it, bring forth the harvest, and it's all over, see? Now, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven and swear by Elohim that liveth forever and ever. Also, that's Jehovah, a meaning of Jehovah, and who created heaven and earth. Heaven and things that therein are, and earth and things therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, the times be no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, blow upon his gospel trumpet, the mystery of God, which is Christ, the Word, see, should be finished and consummated, perfected and consummated. See, that's the Word brought to perfection. The bride also, as he hath declared, as God declared, the good news of the gospel, by his servants, the prophets. In other words, the gospel for this age, which is the Gentile church age, has got to run out. Now, you will notice that there are two messengers mentioned here on earth at the same time. Two of them. But they vastly differ from each other. One has descended from heaven and has to do with the seventh seal of mysterious thunders. The other is a messenger born on earth, and he reveals all the mysteries, even the seven thunders. So while one comes down from heaven, which is the voice from heaven, which is Christ, coming down to bring the word of God, the messenger on earth will reveal the same word of God. Now this one from heaven, of course, is Jesus returned as the pillar of fire. Now remember what you learned in Ephesians. Jesus returned to earth 2,000 years ago with the Holy Ghost. He gave Paul his revelation as the pillar of fire 2,000 years ago. And now this same one returns in a pillar of fire as the Word, which is the Logos. And remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Logos was God, and the Logos was made flesh. But it doesn't say the Logos is made flesh here. But it's the same Logos. So what is the Logos? He's the messenger in the pillar of fire, right? Now, this other one, in verse 7, is the seventh church age messenger. He is. There's no other place you can find him. There's only seven messengers in the Bible that are on earth. Each one is a church age messenger. And if he's the seventh one, then he's a messenger to the Laodicean church age. And if he's a messenger to the Laodicean church age, then he is the last messenger, and it's in his time that the rapture has got to take place. And I'm not meaning to the days of his life. I'm talking about the time of his message, because remember, the messenger is nothing. The message is everything. See? Because remember, these seven stars are mere mortals. They're just ordinary individuals. And you cannot put any grace upon them except in the economy of God. To do that is to wrong. Like Paul said, I magnify mine office. He never magnified himself. He was the weakest one among them, with fear and with trembling, the most humble. See? But it was his office. So it is, you understand what I'm talking about now. This other, then, is the seventh church age messenger, and he must be Elijah, for he reveals all the mysteries, of which 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57 is the last one pertaining to the bride. Now, if he reveals all the mysteries, then he's got to reveal the mystery of the rapture, which is 15, 51 to 57. Now, watch it now. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now remember, Paul says over here, in verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, with what body it comes? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. See, you can't get your change unless you die. And well, over here it says, I'm going to show you mystery, we shall not all sleep, which is incumbent upon you to be in the resurrection. How can a man get up if he doesn't fall down? How can a man pay his debts if he doesn't have debt? How can a man eat supper if he hasn't got supper? See? How can a man see if he hasn't got eyeballs? Then how are you going to get a resurrection unless you die? See? It's just that simple. Now he says, I'm going to show you a mystery. See, I'm going to show you a man that eats supper without having supper to eat. That's right. Just that simple. He's going to eat anyway. But there's no supper there. Let the doctor open up. Well, that's strange. He said there wasn't a bit of food in the house. Now his stomach is full of food. See, that's a miracle. All right? That's just what we're talking about here. You're going to get a resurrection body, and you won't die. We shall not A-double-L flee, but we shall A-double-L be changed. Following? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Now, when's the last trump? The seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound in his gospel trumpet. See? Now, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Notice now, for this corruptible, which doesn't corrupt and go to the ground, must put on incorruption, so it can't go to the ground, and this mortal, death doom, mortus is death doom, shall put on eternality, which is right, the flesh will become eternal. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same, and not before, death is swallowed up in a victory. Not destroyed, but swallowed, rendered null. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? All right, where is it? Well, let's find out. The sting of death is sin. So therefore, sin must be dealt with in the flesh in such a way that the body can now return to a status of eternal life that Adam and Eve could not attain in their sin, because Jesus said, lest they reach forth their hand now and eat of the tree of life and live forever, I'm going to guard it with the flaming sword of the cherubim. So remember now, the cherubim step aside. Everything steps aside. There's an access to God that is absolutely fantastic. Oh my, let me see if I just saw something here. Yes, sir. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, our reading the other night. This is the covenant, verse 16, that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them, and their sin iniquities I'll remember no more. Now, remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. You walk right into the holy of holies. You don't worry about the blood anymore. The offering is completed. It's all finished. There's no more to come in under the sacrifice, into the bride. All the ages are consummated, and you walk right in. There it is. I knew God had shown me how that worked out. Now, see, the sting of death is sin, it's gone. The strength of sin is the law. What does the law do? The law condemns. There is therefore now no condemnation. There cannot be, because there's nothing there to condemn. See, the bride comes into the perfect likeness of Christ, just like the resurrected dead will do, see? Now, thanks be unto God, which giveth us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For notice, it's a victory that is handed to us by grace. It's a victory, but it's not ours. It's His. Now, you'll notice in here that this mystery, then, is the last mystery pertaining to the Gentile bride, which is what? The mystery of the rapture, the change on earth while she is still living. And this bride, then, will be according to Revelation 22, 18 and 19, where I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written therein. Now you see, what is it? There will be a complete revelation that cannot be added to nor taken from. And that's what Paul said. See? Paul said, don't you dare let even an angel from heaven come down and tell you anything but what I told you. So therefore, as Brother Branham said, you cannot add to the book, you cannot take from the book, but it is a complete revelation of the end time, of restoration. That's why it's so simple, everybody's going to miss it, except the bride. And this, of course, will bring about also 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 2 to 3. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. See, godly jealousy, the law of jealousy is a man that believes his wife has been fornicating with another man. and he can't prove it. But the Spirit hits him. See? I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul had that same Spirit hit him because he knew that the woman that he had espoused to God was going to fall into sin, unchastity, which is in fornication. Now, what is the fornication? But I fear lest any means, as a serpent beguiled you through his subtlety, so your mind, M-I-N-D-S, repent, change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. See? The bride has got to have a change of mind. See? Everybody's screaming, change your heart. And if I've had this done to me and that done to me, then I'm going to make the rapture. Now, that is a lie. I'd like Brother Branham, I said, I don't care if you've been to the altar 20 times. You've danced, you've shouted, you've screamed, you've testified, gone down the street winning souls, tried to serve God, spoke in tongues, and performed miracles. I don't care. If you have a creed and a dogma, and you're back under that old ministry, you're never going to make the bride anymore, and the dead horse is going to make it. See, because it's the mind. The mind is the womb. See? If your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. There's got to be that to the mind that is, as Paul said, every thought brought into captivity, casting down reasoning, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is it? If every single thing is under dominion to the faith in the Word of Almighty God as delivered by the prophet of Paul, and now at the end time, prophet Elijah. Now, let us just stop and think a moment here. We said that these two beings in Revelation 10, 1-7 are messengers. Now, a messenger is one with the message. See? He's one with the message. That brands him. So here we see the pillar of fire descend as the voice of God, and he uses the prophet as his mouthpiece. And what a thrilling thing this is. For Jesus is the messenger from heaven, bringing us the end time message, or the last message before the rapture. See, he has to be, because who sows the grain but the husbandman? Who was that original sower out there in Matthew 13? God. Then who's going to sow the word again? God's going to sow the word, not William Branham. He can't sow for nothing. Absolutely not. Where does the Bible say that a man went forth to sow? Well, you say, well, I believe the Bible says one man sows and one man waters, God gives increase. That's just personal work. That hasn't got a thing to do with this. Where do you find it? That any place where any prophet, any man ever got a message, he couldn't do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God to the people. And it wouldn't be the Word of God. His brother Branham said, if a man came along and said, thus saith Lee Dale, he said, that's what Lee Dale said. Now, if you say, thus saith the Lord, that's what the Lord said, not what the prophet said. See? You'll find that on one of these tapes there, almost verbatim. He used two or three of us by name. See? Jesus is a messenger from heaven, bringing up the end time message, or the last message, before the rapture, which is what? Restoration. The re-sowing of the seed. See? You couldn't get a crop of the other stuff. He's only not even fit to plow under. You just get a piece of grain that out there in Palestine there that all of this chomper chomped down. He started in the first stage as the palmer worm, whatever it was. And then he began growing up till he became the locust. What's left when the locust gets through? You couldn't have a crop if you tried. The whole thing dies. Rot. The life has gone out of it. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. What is it? It's fit for destruction. Now what's he got to do? He's got to sow again. A complete re-sowing. Is that right? Absolutely. You couldn't miss that if you tried. I know it's the truth that God revealed to me. And the message, what is the message? It's Revelation 10 and 7. Christ, the mystery of God, Christ, the Word, the Logos, is being revealed to us by the prophet's words, which are what? God's words in the prophet's mouth. As Brother Branham said, the words of the prophet are God's thoughts. It's exactly right. Otherwise, how could the book be written here? What Paul did, Paul wrote the thoughts of God, according to his day. See? Now, according to Luke 17:30, the Son of Man is being revealed again in human flesh by the Spirit. We'll go back to Luke 17:30. But even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The Son of Man is being revealed again in human flesh by the Spirit. The prophet is revealing the Son of Man. Now, let's just stop here a second. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Now, this is the revelation Peter had from God. Verse 13, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, and they said, some say they were John the Baptist, some Elijah, some other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, how'd they get that, Jeremiah? Well, if those kooks didn't believe in reincarnation, there's nothing that ever said the spirit of Jeremiah ever come back to anybody. Or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, notice how mixed up they were. Oh, they were, had their foot halfway in spiritism. He's like the Roman Catholic Church read. And he said, but whom do you say that I am? Verse 16 of Matthew 16 now. Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want you to get the full impact of this. Here is an ordinary man that eats and sleeps and drinks. Talked about ordinary subjects. Was attracted to ordinary things. In all points like tempted as we are. Absolutely. And yet Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then over in Matthew 17, he says here, Lord. See? In that verse. Lord, it is good for us to be here, said Peter in verse 4, continuing his revelation. Now, what did it feel like for Peter, trained in his religion, to look at a man? It was absolutely pure human being from the viewpoint of the outsider, and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, thou art Messiah, you're my God, manifest in flesh. For him to give Jesus Christ all that credit was absolutely a fantastic thing. Now then, at the end time, how can anybody look at verse 30 and believe that this is William Branham without a revelation? Where you don't take it any further than it ought to go, or take it any less than it ought to go. And you know something? I don't believe any one of us in this room here have ever taken this verse as far as it ought to go. Right. Because when they saw Jesus, they never saw a man, they saw God. But he was absolutely veiled by the human flesh, which he had to be. And so at this end time, there is no doubt that when we saw William Branham in his ministry under the anointing, we absolutely saw Jesus Christ. Not a man, but God. But you know, how do we recognize that to be the truth? Now, we can't see a pillar of fire. We can't hear the voice. We've only got one way to get there. And that's by the prophet. You never make it any other way. I'm talking not about salvation, I'm talking about revelation. And about this. Yet we have never comprehended the truth of this. Now, I've done a little bit of prophesying. And I'm going to tell you something. I've heard myself talk. It's something funny for your mind to be absolutely dead and to hear your mouth talk. And it's the Word of God. And I had the most strange experience happen one day to me in a service when I heard myself say, you never saw, you weren't looking at the man when you saw William Branham. You were looking at God. I heard myself say that, and I didn't say it. And then as my mind functioned once more, I said, what is it? See, what is it? It's God in the man. We are not prepared, the most of us, never take what we have gotten far enough. I talked to Brother Branham one day, and I said, Brother Branham, it is my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, that there will be less said against those who made you God in the day of judgment, there will be less against them in the day of judgment having made you God than for those who turned you down. He said, Brother Vail, that is exactly right. And yet he said, I'm not Jesus Christ. And he wasn't Jesus Christ. Because he was William Branham telling about himself. See? When they said to Jesus, deny you the Son of God, he said, deny the Son of God, be liars just like you, bunch of bums. Snakes in the grass, vipers. Hypocrites. Killers. Murderers. Fornicators. See? Now, William Branham would have said, if he stood there, I'm Jesus Christ, he'd have been an antichrist lying blasphemer. See? But under that anointing, speaking the Word of God, there was absolutely the truth of an identification with Jesus Christ here, where as Brother Branham said, even thus it be, when the Son of Man is revealed, and he tells you how it's revealed, in human flesh. It took a human being to do it, just like it did back there. But the human flesh was not the created body that God had. The human flesh was a sex-born individual that God chose as a seventh-day church messenger, putting his spirit on him in a ministry office, wherein this is the complete manifestation or revelation of the Son of Man himself. See, just like now, we're all Nicodemuses. We know that no man can do the works he do except be given him from God. And that's exactly right. No man could do it. William Branham couldn't discern people's hearts. It was the Word discerning it. William Branham couldn't say, thus saith the Lord. It was the Holy Ghost doing it. William Branham could not heal anybody. It was the Holy Ghost doing it. See? But William Branham was revealing the Son of Man, which was doing everything that the Spirit of God did in human flesh in the perfect body back there. That body cannot come on earth. If it could come on earth, it would have done it to do this thing. But the body cannot come back to earth. So what's he going to do? He's going to take somebody else's body. And who is that? It's Elijah. You follow me? The Son of Man being revealed in human flesh by the Spirit of God. You follow me? I hope you're getting this now, because we're in some pretty deep stuff here where you could, and I don't want you going deedy-cult now. And I'm not saying anything to make you go deedy-cult. I've took this according to the Word of God. The Word of God is descending again by the prophet Spirit. The Word of God descended through the Virgin Mary, who accepted the Word, turned it into flesh in her womb, then the Spirit of God fell upon it, making him a man. You'll bear the river Jordan. See? Now, the same word Logos does not descend that way this time. It descends by the prophet's spirit. Now, if we're all this morning Holy Ghost-filled people, and I trust we are, because we got to make our claims, we believe we are, and our testimony that we're born of the Spirit of God, we're baptized with the Holy Ghost in union in the body of Jesus Christ. If that's so, then William Branham is no different from you and me. Because it's by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And there's no difference in that spirit. Absolutely no difference. Nothing at all different. No siree. No, sir. No difference whatsoever. Just like even John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost, mother's womb, had to look to Calvary. If it hadn't been for Jesus, John would still be in the grave. See? Remember, the law was until John. I believe John came up in the resurrection with Jesus. See? Now, that's my understanding of Scripture. I don't think he's a part of the New Testament bride. If he is, he's still on the ground. But I just doubt it. I believe that he was raised. I can't prove it, but I believe he was. Now, the thing is here, that every one of us, even William Branham, have the same spirit. See? But remember, just like Moses leading Israel, and they have the spirit, even the same as Moses did, yet the word only came by one man's spirit. See? One man that had the Holy Ghost. So William Branham, being a prophet, the word never came by your spirit and my spirit, though it's the same spirit. It came by his spirit. You follow me? The word descended by the prophet's spirit. Not yours and mine, though it's the same spirit. And we know this is so because of the vindication of the prophet. We never had the vindication. Which is the actual ministry of Christ returned to earth, but revealed by the prophet. As it was said in John 15:24, no man can do these things except God be with him. The Father himself doeth the works. Brother Branham used those very verses with Luke 17:30 and Revelation 10:1, 10:7. Remember those? All right, get them in your notes then. Don't forget, it's on tape. Now watch. Jesus vindicated John, but Jesus himself was vindicated by works. See? Jesus vindicated John, but Jesus was vindicated by his work. John 10, 37-38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, believe, though you believe not me, believe the works. That you may know and believe, that the Father is in me and I in him. The actual oneness with God. The complete identification. The swallowing up of the man into God. Or as Brother Branham absolutely said, he became me that I might become him. See? Now he said, believe it by the works. Again, John 15, 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. He never said by looking at him they saw the Father. No, sir. No, sir. What did they see? The works. See? That showed him the Father. The ministry gave him the right to vindicate John. Now, if he is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he will have to come forth in the same ministry that gave him the right to vindicate John, will vindicate this Elijah. He's got to have the very same ministry. And that is exactly what he does in Luke 17, 26 to 30, which we read, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. The days of the prophet return to earth, but not the prophet in the flesh. Why? Because the prophet's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is returning in the Holy Ghost ministry. The token amongst the people. Brought into full manifestation. What they'd only known about in the Word to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And what he did was brought into full view, and he did it. So Brother Branham preached, don't get, he said, what you saw demonstrated in the visible amongst you. Get it. And then some people ran off and said, well, ain't nobody got nothing. I'm going to challenge you right now. That man's a liar in my books, and now every man that says you haven't got anything is a liar, because the Holy Ghost has been here for 2,000 years, but not brought into full view. Just like this Word's been here for all these thousand years, but not brought into full view. It wasn't time. It took the revealed Word to loose the Holy Ghost. See? To make him and the Word one. But we've already had the Holy Ghost. See? Now, this is, I say, exactly Luke 17, 26, 30. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Not coming now, but days of the Son of Man. Noah's days repeat, but not Noah. Everything about Noah's days, the days of Jesus repeat. Now remember, that Noah was a prophet, Jesus was a prophet. Remember Noah built an ark? And now we've got to have something for what? The saving of the world for the next world. That is the saving of God's people, the righteous. So there'll be something done that'll save us. They ate, they drank, they married wives, given marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed him. Likewise also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. And Brother Branham said for the Christian to do the same thing. Not go ahead and marry other women, but you got your wife, stay with her. If your young man want to get married, go and get married. If you're planting and sowing, do it. He said, if I knew Jesus was coming tomorrow and I'm planting corn, I'll plant corn tonight. Yet people got crazy ideas about this. They want to do something else. They never listened to the prophet. If they were listening to the prophet, they wouldn't be doing the silly things. Like one fellow in Africa, he said, Christ has got to, the rapture has got to take place the 10th of February or something. I forget what it was now. And he said, if that doesn't take place, I'll come back to America and put a sign on my back, false prophet. He hasn't come back. He ain't getting no rapture. If he'd have kept on planting corn, see, instead of being so silly, he wouldn't have this trouble. Likewise, it was in the days of Lot, they did the same thing. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned to build it. Do the same thing. See, if you plan on going to college, go to college. Then go to the right college. If you're wondering about education, I can tell you right now from my experience, I don't know if I'd waste my time putting kids through college. But see, they got good jobs and things. Or get you got them in some type of training to work out maybe, or sure pick the college you're going to send them to. Most colleges right now are hell holes. Devils getting away from home and amongst the professors out there that are godless, bunch of Christ haters. Nah, there's a whole lot more than making a good living in this world. Enjoying a turnip and Now, you may not like what I'm saying, but I'm going to nail it right down from experience in the Word of God. I'm not against education for education. No, sir, you got to have a certain amount of education. But make sure he gets the right college and make sure your home life is there. If he's going to be in college, you better ride herd on him. Well, I got to elevate my subject that way, but I guess it's good for us. Have to learn these things. The same day the Lot went out of Sodom, and rained fire and brimstone from heaven. Destroyed them all. Even thus it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed in human flesh. We put the word human flesh in here because Brother Brown explained what the revelation was. It's by human flesh. In the day of the man, that man's revealing Christ, see, to the people, Christ revealed amongst the people, it's going to be that kind of a day. So don't try to change the Word of God, see. Now, just look at William Branham, the end time prophet, in consideration of this, because he revealed him. And when he was born, a light hung over his cradle for 48 hours. His life was super phenomenal, because even like Jeremiah, he was fashioned in the womb to be a prophet, and he had visions of supernatural happenings as even as a child. His ministry had three poles in it. He had the sign in the hand. He had the revelation, discernment. He had the revealed Word of God. See, there is no doubt that he was the one who should come and restore, because he was vindicated. For no man did the works that he did, and he surely revealed the Son of Man. But remember, no prophet of himself could do that. It is the Spirit of God in the man. So listen carefully. As Brother Branham said in doing God a service in Shreveport, the business man's breakfast. Therefore, the Elijah for this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by his Spirit, see, appearing amongst the bride, doing the same things he did on earth, and restoring the word. It is God, not a man. See? Only God can do this, not a man. William Branham could not do it. But if all of this will come by a prophet or a human being. In other words, everything that God said he would do, he is doing it by the prophet. In other words, the sounding board. Brother Branham said, there's pictures going to this room. Your television set doesn't make the picture. Your television set picks up the picture. Then what is it? It's William Branham picking up the picture. William Branham is nothing. See? And yet we don't mean to say he's nothing as though he's nothing. We're talking relatively. When we talk of the relationship to God, he is nothing. When we talk about our relationship, to get this from God, he is everything. Ain't nobody else got it. You follow me? We make a distinction here, and let's make a scriptural. See? It is the Son of Man, prophetic ministry on earth once more. And listen now. This is what the Spirit of God gave Brother Branham, his spoken words, original seed. He is finishing the ministry which he could not finish in his flesh while he was on earth, because it was not time. Now, right there, everybody doesn't like that. Because they say, well, the cross finished it. Now, come on now. If you're talking about that, that's something different. When he said it is finished, you're talking about that was finished. A lot of things weren't finished. For one thing, the bride wasn't finished. See, for another thing, iniquity wasn't finished. A lot of things weren't finished. What he was to do in the days of his flesh were finished. But what he was yet to do, what he couldn't do in the days of his flesh, is yet to be done. Now, there were certain things it wasn't time for. So therefore he couldn't do it. So now he's got to do it through the bride. See, and particularly through the prophet, who is in the bride, and we're identified with him, because if one member is glorified, all members are glorified. If one member is weak, all members are weakened. So therefore, whatever one member is bride. See? Now, let's go to Acts, the third chapter. Which I pointed out to you. 19-22. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, or that part of anything that is presented to the eye. Now, what was presented to the eye of God, from God? The ministry was presented to the eye. All right? There's going to be a time of refreshing through the ministry of God on this earth. Then when that's over, he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, until the restoration of all things. Now listen, times of refreshing and restoration are not the same thing, but they're absolutely identified together. That's right. You don't get one without the other, but they're not the same. No, sir. But they're not the same, because restoration is the word by the prophet, and refreshing is for the bride. See? All right? Let's prove it. Let's go back to Isaiah 28, because Brother Branham categorically said that refreshing was Isaiah 28. Now, if I've got my quotes right here, it might be Isaiah 29, because I've got a poor memory. That they don't have any memory. It's a problem with me. All right, 28. Now he talks of the crown of pride in Ephraim, in verse 3, be trodden down. The glorious beauty, which is on the head of the fat valley, that's Laodicea, shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, what's hasty fruit? Isn't worth a plug nickel. See? It'll all be eaten up and destroyed. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory. See, that's in the bride. And for a diadem of beauty unto the residuary people. For a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment. And for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine. See, they got the wrong revelation, inspiration. And through strong drink, they're taken out of the way. Creeds and dogmas have bound them like chains of iron. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They have swallowed up wine. They've swallowed up a wine. That's right, their creeds and dogmas, they'll never get out of this. They swallow them up. They're swallowed up through strong drink. They err in vision. What's vision? Revealed word. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. Nothing that is not full of vomit. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. God never, ever does lay it out all in one place, just clean and pretty, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, here it is. That's what we got against Brother Branham. Why didn't he just up and tell us in one place? Because he couldn't. Yet God never did do that. The closest he came to it was in the Ten Commandments and the law and ordinances he gave to Israel, and didn't do him a bit of good. He brought him condemnation. For with stammering lips and another tongue he deceived evil. To whom he said, this is the rest, whereas you may cause the weary rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, here, line upon line upon line, here little, there little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Why? This was to, in order to enmesh those who wouldn't receive the revelation, because there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, anybody could get it. Say, well, I got that, waiting on the rapture. Never can get it. Got to be spirit revealed, here little, there little, line upon line, little bit here, little bit there, see? Now, this is the refreshing. See, now go back here. It says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God's ministry will bring forth this refreshing, which comes by the restoration of the word. The ministry indicates it. The word of God is it, which is vindicated. And the people receiving it come into the refreshing. And what's refreshing? It's a cool breeze reviving, which is Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. See? God breathing by the word, bringing life to the dead, brings about a resurrection, and brings about a rapture. See? Now notice in verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Future tense. And it shall come to pass. This is after Pentecost. See? That every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed among people. That did not happen when Christ was upon earth. They destroy him.
He didn't destroy them. Israel went into captivity. That is to say, Jerusalem was taken and so on, and Israel was scattered. Now notice, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now, I don't remember that Samuel said anything much about it. Why Samuel's name there? Because the Bible said the Lord revealed himself to Samuel, the Lord appeared to Samuel's shadow, for the Lord revealed himself by the word of the Lord, God appearing by revealed word. See? And after Moses, wherein God appeared by the pillar of fire and spoke lip to ear, not in similitude, but even apparently, from that time on, no prophet got anywhere except by the word. God revealed himself by his word, no other way. See? Then when Paul came on the scene, what happened? God once more lift to air, pillar of fire. See? From that time on, nobody saw God except by revealed word. Now, you come again, the end time prophet, the pillar of fire returns again in order to bring back lift to air. And what is it? The people now receive God into full manifestation of you by the word of the Lord. Because Brother Branham never, ever did see God. He saw a vision of Christ. But it was the pillar of fire that God dealt with him. And God came into full view by the pillar of fire, see? Now remember, this ministry here of Jesus, that it says, this prophet, if you don't hear this prophet, then everybody that doesn't hear him will be destroyed. Isn't that what Malachi says? Except I send Elijah, I'll destroy utterly the whole world with a curse. Alright, now, let's turn back to Isaiah 61. Showing you that God did things that the Spirit, that Christ must do in this end time, this same prophet got to do things he didn't do before. Alright, Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He hath anointed me and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison and the bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God. Now what's the day of the vengeance of our God? The great and dreadful day of the Lord. Right? Surely it is. What else? Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw the sixth seal open, right? Now then, he said, he's got to do this himself. He has got to proclaim the very day, and then he tells you how. I'm going to send Elijah, which is my spirit on a man, which is me being revealed in human flesh. I'm going to come back and myself, I'm going to proclaim that day, and nobody else is going to do it. And he does it. He raised his hand and swore time's run out. What is the time for? Judgment. Notice. And also to comfort all that mourn. When did that happen? Hasn't happened yet. But he's going to do it. How will he do it? When all that mourn, every single one of the bride, he'll be with them. His ministry was not finished. It's in three parts. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he did it in his flesh. He does it the next time, the vengeance of our God, Elijah. That same spirit does it. His ministry, which he couldn't finish in his flesh then. The third thing, to comfort all that mourn. He's going to be right there in his own human form, back with the bride. And they'll wipe away every tear. There'll be no more sorrows, no more crying. Former things are passed away. He's going to do it all. See? And remember, at the same time, remember that Jesus also said in the 11th chapter of Revelation, two witnesses. See, two witnesses there. What do they come to? They steal the 144,000. What is that? That's Elijah. See? That's appearing again in order to seal the 144,000 so that they don't get destroyed. You got Elijah five times. Elijah, John the Baptist, William Branham, one of the two witnesses. Every word of God is then fulfilled. Now, 2 Peter, the second chapter, 4-7. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, and a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world upon the world the ungodly. Notice there are two worlds, the ungodly world and God's world, two governments, cosmos, and the kingdom of God, two separate ones absolutely, and what are they? Both are here in a dimension. That's why heaven's here in a dimension too. Everything's in a dimension. and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the behavior of the wicked. And for that righteous man, dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now what do you say here? Why, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Now what was Noah? Noah was a preacher of righteousness, in whom was the Spirit of Christ, and that same Spirit, after Jesus died, went down to those in Hades, where Noah's corrupt generation was, and said, I am the one that Noah preached, because I was in Noah. See? The same one returned. That was in Noah. That was in his own body of flesh. Coming back at the end time, and condemns the world. And if he condemns the world, then it's an overthrow. Overthrow. So who gets saved? The bride and the 144,000. And they grant the millennium, see? Now listen. How will this ministry of the word bring about restoration, which must be brought in order to bring him back in the flesh as the bridegroom? What will this ministry of restoration do? All right? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 35 to 38 now, not the other ones. But some man will say, how were the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance the wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now look, if you don't have in this body here the true seed of Almighty God, how can you get a resurrection body? Because the body that's going to be produced must have the seed in it that brings out that body. Now, if all I've got in here is corrupt seed, I've got to have a corrupt body. See? The plant depends upon the seed. Now then, that's why God sows at the end time the brand new seed. That's why every thought, change your mind. Get every word out of here. That's why you get people coming in and they fall away. They're not going to stick with this message. I can almost look a man in the eye and tell you where he's going to stick with this message or not, what he's going to do. He never was in this message, or he wouldn't fall away in the first place. He never did bring his mind into captivity unto Christ. I got him back where we live. Never did believe serpent seed. Never did believe predestination. Never did believe that the character lies in the Word and not what you're producing. See? Never did believe that you can't have a prayer meeting over here and not have everybody in it. That's going you and me pray. Never did believe what the prophet said. Never could bring his mind under captivity. Change your mind. Get every thought out of there. Everything you ever thought about the Word of God, throw it out. It's dead, it's rotten, it's killed, it's been mutilated, corrupted, dogmatized, creedalized, bastardized, until there's no more God in there than a dead horse. Get out. See, get it out so the new seed can fall in. Now what will the new seed do? The new seed now that will bring forth with the Holy Ghost falling on us, this body here standing here to put you in the rapture. You follow me? Why? Because as Brother Branham said, every seed has within it the power of transformation. Put a little lemon seed here in the ground. It'll bring forth lemons, three lemons. Why? Because it's got the power of transformation there. Put a little orange seed here, and put in the ground. It'll come forth an orange tree. See? And get a hen and a rooster together. Bring forth a chicken. The bull and a cow. Bring forth a calf. And how are you going to bring forth the bride of Jesus Christ in a church that's so full of creeds and dogmas? It never will work. You couldn't get a resurrection or rapture if you tried. Because the bride of Christ is one whole entity. And you cannot have those in the ground that already paid the price of sin. You'll never get them out of the ground until you get the bride standing here that she's absolutely without one creed or dogma. She hasn't got one word added and one word taken from it. She's absolute, genuine word. She says amen to everything the prophet of God said, because the Bible distinctly says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Then how can anybody say Brother Branham can make a mistake? He can't do it. He never, ever made a mistake on a major doctrine. Yet some of his ideas weren't right, so God showed him. But when he came to the church with thus saith the Lord, which was the word for this day, the revealed word, there could not possibly be an error in it, because God said a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. It's just that simple. See? Now, you have to have the seed in you in order to come up into the resurrection. That's why when Peter, James, and John saw the resurrection kingdom, and they said, well, Elijah's in it. I thought he was supposed to come before it, and now we see the kingdom and he's in it. He said, absolutely, he's going to come before it, just like John did. But he said, they won't pay no, never mind. He said, they said, Pharisee, he said, the kingdom of God is amongst you, but he said, it cometh not with observation. He said, it'll come and you won't even see it. It'll be there and you'll miss it. The rapture will be here and you'll miss it. Why? Because the rapture is a revelation. Not that it's a revelation, you know, oh, glory to God, I've got the rapture revealed, so therefore, hallelujah, that's all of this too. Oh, hogwash. The revelation of puts in a rapture. Yeah. That's that stupid doctrine the Baptists say. I've received the Holy Ghost by faith. They say, where is he? I received a pair of shoes by faith. Let those shoes come on my feet, then I'll know I had the faith. Like James said, show me your faith by your works, by the result. See? Why, that's the whole thing. You got the rapture of the revelation, you'll be in the rapture. Not talk about raptures or revelations, so we're sitting around here, glory to God, and we're raptured. I say they're ruptured, they're not raptured. The whole thing stinks. See? Certainly. Now, why do I say this? Because over here in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the third chapter, the 2nd verse, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Sure we are. Already. Already got the Holy Ghost. Well, here we have got the Holy Ghost. It has never yet happened what we shall be. It's never yet come into existence. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, when's he going to appear? Up in the rapture? No, sir. He's got to appear before the rapture in order for you to get your change to make the rapture. And how are these people talking about they're going to make the rapture without him appearing first? Because if he doesn't appear in human flesh by the word, you'll never be raptured, because it takes a glorified body to be raptured. So there you are. You've got it here in the bride. Then 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, 23 to 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The unadulterated word of God. To be born of it. Now Peter says here, be born again. Not of creeds and dogmas, but by the word of God. Now remember, brother, sister, you've got to be born out of the ground. That's the redemption of your body. Jesus was the first begotten from amongst the dead. He was the firstborn from amongst the dead. Now, during the resurrection, you've got to be reborn out of the ground, which is your body. See? That's right. There's a rebirth there. And that's the part that's not been reborn. It's your body. It has to be reborn out of the very same gases that went down. God rebirths, recreates that body. Well, now, how in the world can we have a resurrection body here unless you've got perfect words? And this has got to be recreated. It's by the word of God that we're born into a resurrection body, and you've got to be born by the word, which is, even as Peter said, the gospel which we preach, just like Paul. Because he said, when we checked, he said, we were not one bit different. We were the same, see? So there you see it. And we must recognize it. Remember in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, when Stephen preached the word, they closed their ears and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they were found guilty. And we must not be guilty of turning aside Jesus, the revealed word. See, because remember, he is outside the church at the end time, knocking on the door, wanting to come in. But what is it? We will open our hearts by way of our minds through repentance in order to be converted. See? Turned unto God. Now, if you turn unto God this way, then let's face it, we were not turned to God the other way. And if we were not turned to God, then God was turned away from us. God cannot turn to anybody who does not turn to him. And he brings about that turn because repentance is granted by God, which is a change of the mind. God grants it and has granted by the end time ministry of Elijah. See? So what is the secret today, whether the church believes it or not, is to repent. Change your mind, for why will you die? They say we're not going to die. You think they're not going to die? Let's go back to Isaiah 40 and find out. I think it's Isaiah 40. If it's not, I'm in trouble. Because I just can't get these things. It's like I'm in trouble. Not Isaiah 40. In fact, I can just see it here. No, it's not 40. Could be 28 or 29. It's 28, same chapter. Line upon line. Go back to verse 14 now. Hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. See, that's your hierarchy. That's your Nicolaitan system. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell, the grave, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. What's that? That's the revealed word of God. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of eyes, and water shall overflow the hiding place. There's your creeds and dogmas going down. What? Through the judgment of God. And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. For the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by night and by day, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Now what's he saying here? He's telling you they made an agreement with death. They said, well, the rapture is going to come. Millions now living shall never die. We're going to make it. We don't need this prophet of God. We lie upon him. What's all this talk about a prophet? Why, we've got Jesus. Hallelujah. We've talked in tongues. We're born again. Why, look at here. Millions now living. They'll never die. Airplanes are going to plunge because the pilot's going to be gone. Cars will pile up because the driver's gone. Trains will wreck because the driver's gone. Stupidity I've ever heard in my life. And the same bunch of what? Spiritually stupid, idiotic people say a secret rapture. Well, where in the name and common sense is a secret rapture if trains pile up and airplanes fall and cars pile up on the road and millions are now living will never die? He said, I'm going to cancel your agreement. What agreement? I'm canceling your covenant through Calvary. Just like in Exodus time, he canceled the circumcision covenant. You could be the most circumcised man in the whole building, the whole town, million, 3 million Jews. And see, I've come through. In fact, I was circumcised twice, the man said. Where's the blood? I don't need any blood. I've got a covenant with circumcision. See, what's circumcision? The sign in the flesh of the Holy Ghost. Bless God, I've talked in tongues. I've healed the sick. I've raised the dead. Don't tell me that I'm not right with God. William Branham, why that lying dog? Now, where's your covenant gone? You haven't got one. Millions now living will die. He said, you say you made a refuge of lies. Isn't that right? There's your word of God. But why will you die? You don't. If you take the word of God. What word? The vindicated word as brought by the prophet. Well, Brother Bill, don't you think God will show me a few things? No, don't believe it for a minute. God shows you nothing. Said God shows you the prophet was right. Shows you what the prophet taught. But I don't believe God showed you anything. You say why? Because I don't believe God showed me anything either. God told me years ago he would teach me the second coming. How'd he do it? By the prophet. I found 99% of what I believe was wrong. There's only one thing I can cling to from the original team. That was the original truth. And that was, you've got to have the Holy Ghost. That's all I know. That's all I could ever keep from what I was taught all my years. I only kept one thing, and that's the only thing I could keep because that's the only truth I had. The only real truth. It's the Holy Ghost, or you ain't got it. And then even then, I was taught the wrong things about the Holy Ghost, like tongues evidence and all. So that went down the drain. Every thought into captivity. Every thought. Turn your whole mind out. Don't keep one single thing. Be as glad to get rid of your to your minds, be as glad to purge your mind, is when you get a terrible attack of indigestion and vomiting, that's the only way to get rid of it. So you say, pour down the mustard. Give us the hot water. Poke your finger out. Don't do anything but bring it up. That's right. If you want to empty your stomach, empty your mind. Purge it. Right. Repent. Because that's the only way to turn back to God. There's no other way. Well, the Lord bless you. I hope you got some things out of this morning to help you, because Brother Branham preached so many, many, many sermons just on this very things that I felt it was that we've been sort of neglecting this subject, not going into all the facets that God would show us in order to encourage the people. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. Never mind anything else. Stay with the Word. Because in the final analysis, Abraham hath rubbed the glory, but not before God. And many men will come saying, Lord, I lived the life. I cast out devils. I did all these things. I was sincere. Depart me. I never knew. There's only one tree, brother, sister. That's the bride tree. There's only one tree that's going to make it, and that's the bride tree. Every other tree will be cut down. There'll be nothing else that's going to stand. Remember, those trees in the garden were good for food that God planted, every one of them. There were two in the spiritual realm that God placed there. And you could eat spiritually. See? So there we go back to that word. Eternal life lies in the Word. Everything else is good out here, depending how you use it. There's nothing evil in it. There's nothing evil in itself. There's not one thing evil. There's not a television set that's evil. It's how you use it. What comes on that lousy set. There's not a piano that's evil, unless you play boogie-woogie and dance for the devil. There's not a radio that's anything wrong. There's not a newspaper. There's nothing in itself that's evil. It's what you do with it. See? That's the whole thing. There's this Word of God perfect. What did they do? They used it wrong, right? The Spirit of God perfect. They used Him wrong. See, we don't condemn people. We get a little carried away at times and involve personality. Brother Branham never did. Even though using names, you never involve personality. It was going against the perversion, but not the man. Never against the people, the system. See, I hope we get that way before we go in the rapture. I'm believing, even before we're changed into the place I know we're going to be to make that rapture. I trust by the grace of God we're going to come to the place where we don't have any personality conflicts. No, sir. We don't look at anybody to judge him. It's just where the prophet is watching that word. May God help us to be with it. The Lord bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Eternal Father, it's been so good to be with your people here, always inspiring, always wonderful, Lord, to know that therefore underneath there is an empathy and a rapport in Jesus Christ amongst the brethren here. And I pray, Lord God, that whatever may be superficial, that you by your harrow, which is the Word of God, will level every place, bring up the low places, bring down the high places, make everyone to be truly one in Jesus Christ, Lord God, coming to the place where they love each other to such an extent that they'll never be seeing anything in each other but Jesus Christ. Bless the children, O God, to know that though they're deprived of many things, and they're sort of straightened and like a narrow way, and maybe even chafing against the dictates of the parents, may they know, Lord, that the parents have only one concern, and that is that it could be within this very year there's going to be a missing people who go up to be with the Lord. And if this year doesn't do it, it can't be long. What's 2 or 3 years to go? Oh, it seems so long, but everything goes so fast. It can't be long. Lord, I don't believe for 1 minute it's going to last beyond 1973 and a half. I don't believe it for 1 minute. What's there to go? Already, it's just about April the 1st. In a little while, it's going to be hot summer. And then without knowing it, it's going to be cool fall. And right off the bat, they won't know that a year has gone by. They're right back to March again. This time, which is not hot, not cold, kind of funny springish weather. Lord, time's going to go so fast. Help them to know that these things are not to put them in check, but it's to keep them under the covenant. God grant it that it may be something come into their minds and into their hearts to realize this. Though they may seem neglected and put under and put out, it's not that at all. It's a higher vision and a higher life and a higher realm. Oh God, may there be such a thing as putting old heads upon young shoulders in this end time, because that's what it takes. Even as we claim for ourselves, our heads are no good. Oh, may it be the head of Christ come down upon us, who are already older now, and wanting so desperately to see the kingdom come upon this earth. Fearing in one way, are we worthy of it? No, could never be. Are we ready? Oh, trusting that it will be through the preparation of the Word and not by ourselves. Because, Lord, with great fear and trembling, we look at that day that's coming upon the earth, and we see nothing in ourselves that would merit it. Oh, may we see it in Christ, and nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. Bless us now as we go, Lord, our ways. Guide us, protect us, be with us in everything. And as you, according to your mercy and will and grace, come together again to worship and respect and love you. Thank you, Lord, for their gifts, O God. May they be multiplied back to them in a precious way to their families, Lord, in abundance they've not had before, because you, Lord, sooner see really that they have their own gifts for themselves and not for others. But we do appreciate it, knowing it's the will of the Lord. But bless them, I pray, O God, manifestly, not by many, many hours more of work. No, sir, not that. That's just more weight in the family. But, Lord God, by somehow multiplying it, only you can do it. I never did understand it, but I sure saw it work. Lord, grant it, I pray. I believe you do it, Lord. I believe you heard my prayer and done it. And I'm expecting, Lord, to see your goodness now sweetly manifested. And unto the King eternal and more than visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you.